Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to come to you in your homes today online. As you know, we're sorry we couldn't have live services today. We had a little flare-up of COVID among some of our band and our praise team, and we just wanted to make sure we erred on the side of caution to protect all of our members and our guests. So we felt like it would be best to not have our live in-person worship services today. So we're happy, though, and again, we're reminded, I'm so grateful we have the ability to come into your homes or to come into your computer, your mobile device, and have church with you today or whatever day of the week it is that you're watching this message. So God bless you. Man, what a month of weather we have had. Has anybody had enough ice and snow? I know I have. I'm ready to cut my grass now. No more snow dances. I'm done for this winter season. But I am excited. Pastor Stephen mentioned a brand new sermon series. We are starting a brand new sermon series today. So welcome to week number one of our sermon series called Priorities. Now, in this series, we're going to talk about the priorities of life and what we should be spending our time pursuing after. And in truth, I think we could probably preach on this subject for many, many weeks. There's no end to the discussion of priorities. But we're going to drill down in the next 5 weeks or so on some of the major ones. And below me, you see a dartboard. And I'm going to be using this dartboard as an illustration for the next few weeks of the idea behind priorities. Now, as we all know, in the game of darts, your goal is to hit the center every time, if possible. For most of us, though, we also understand, if you've ever played darts, that's really not realistic. It's not going to happen every single time. But we really feel like we've succeeded each time if we can even get close to the center, or sometimes if we can just hit the board, right? Well, our goal in this series of priorities is to not only hit the board, but we want to define what the center is. So, not to oversimplify, but our priorities of life should be in this order if you're a believer. First of all, God is first. He is our number one priority. He is the center of the dartboard. He's the bullseye. He's the goal every day, each and every day if you're a believer. And we're going to talk about that today. As a matter of fact, my sermon today is priority one is Jesus first. Jesus first. The next priority should be our families. They are more important than anyone or anything else in the world, and we're going to talk about that next Sunday. The next priority ought to be the kingdom of God or the church or the body of Christ. And then the last priority is our community, the people that we worship with, the people that we do life with, the people that we work with on a day-to-day basis. So my goal in this series is each week to help show us some practical ways that we can focus on each of these priorities: God, family, church, and community. So let's jump right in this first message of this series, the center of the dartboard, and let's go to our Bibles in the book of Exodus. And I'm going to read Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. Some of you will know this passage right away. It's the same group of verses that we find the Ten Commandments in. Exodus 20, 1 through 3, and it says, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.'" And notice verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." And then we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, another verse that is later repeated by Jesus in the New Testament, but he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Now, when you hear the word priorities, what are some of the things that come to your mind? Well, some of you might say family or friends or work or maybe making money. Other people would say health or exercise or relationships. There's a lot of things we would say. It might be God, it might be religion, it might be marriage. Some might say discipline or the calendar or being productive. Priorities really look different for different people who are in different places or seasons of their life. The word priority means the fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important. Or here's another definition, a thing that is regarded as more important than another thing. But I think if we're honest, when life gets crazy, priorities can get hazy, right? I mean, it gets a little crazy sometimes, and then we have to kind of refocus on our part of our priorities. Now, what does it take to do that, though, to really kind of zone back in on our priorities? Well, we understand that motivational quotes are nice, but we all know that they're really not good enough. Positive thinking is great. It's certainly way better than negative thinking. Can you say amen? Don't look at anybody in your living room right now. But we know that positive thinking in and of itself, it only goes so far, right? Your favorite worship music or preacher, they can encourage you, but that doesn't always sustain us in our priorities. Our priorities can be challenged. And part of staying on point is learning how to remain unconditionally focused on what we know is important, making those things a non-negotiable, to remember what is important and what is supposed to be in the forefront. But it's easier said than done, right? It's not always that easy to do. Jesus even said this, by focusing on the right things, you're always going to live the blessed life. He said in Matthew 6:33, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we like the all these things being added part, but we can't forget that Jesus said, first, you've got to seek first the kingdom of God. The NIV said it this way, if you seek him first, he will give you everything you need. Man, I like that. If you want everything you need every day, you want all that you need all the time, everyday life, what does he say? Seek me first. Jesus said that's how you do it. You focus on God. You focus on his kingdom. You make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Now, what do I mean by kingdom? I'm going to dig into this later on in the series more when we talk about the kingdom. But really, putting the kingdom of God first is when day-to-day life meets God's will and God's will is accomplished. A kingdom is where what the king wants to happen is what we try to make happen, right? So the kingdom of God is where God's will is to be done. God's will, God's plan, God's way. That's God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is the only kingdom that's going to last. All the other kingdoms we set up, they're not going to last. God's kingdom will last forever, so that's why it's worth investing our lives in it. His kingdom's what's going to last. God at the center means a lot more than just adding him into your schedule, right? It's more than just making Jesus another item on my to-do list. You can't just, you know, wedge him into your schedule and then think you finally got your priorities right. A lot of times we think we need to add Jesus and then we just take him. We're like, okay, here's my prayer time. I'm just going to wedge that right in with everything else I'm doing. Here's my Jesus time. I'm going to wedge that into my calendar right here. Well, here's my Bible reading time. I'm going to squeeze that in right here. And then, oh yeah, I got to go to church. Let me squeeze that in right here. And then, oh yeah, I forgot I'm supposed to serve others. Let me squeeze that in. And, oh yeah, what about tithing? Man, let me squeeze that in right here. See, it doesn't work that way. See, we've got good intentions, but when we think about priorities, what we need to understand is you don't just add more to your schedule. You don't just put more in because we just get overwhelmed. You can't do that. Somebody once said this, said God doesn't just want to be a spoke on the wheel of your life. He doesn't want to just be a spoke on the wheel of your life. How many of you remember, some of you are old school, you're old like me. How many of you remember when the Cadillacs used to have those wheels that had, I mean, it looked like they had 200 spokes on them. And I remember guys down there with wax and they're wiping all those spokes. God doesn't want to just be another spoke. You've got enough of those already. He wants to be the center of the hub. He wants to be the middle. He wants to be at the center of the dartboard. See, the challenge is that if God is not going to be just another spoke of my wheel, I've got to change the way I think. I have to change the way I act and not just rearrange the puzzle pieces. See, when you're just adding stuff in, when you're saying, well, I'm going to refocus my life. I know I'm busy, but I'm going to add God in. I'm going to add church in. I'm going to add ministry in. I'm going to add a personal relationship with Jesus in. We got those good intentions, but you know what we do by just adding stuff in? We get tired. You get worn out. You get overwhelmed. You start thinking, how am I going to make this happen? You've already got a busy life, right? We're all busy. Everybody's busy. And now you're just making life busier. You're making it harder. Jesus doesn't want us tired and worn out. He wants us focused. He wants us blessed. And he wants us living for him from the center of who we are. See, it's not just about adding more Jesus stuff. It's about putting him first, putting him at the center, and then guess what? Everything else falls into place behind it. Our verse that I read at the beginning, the verse in Exodus, it's the first one of the Ten Commandments, and it's clear. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. In the New Testament, the Pharisees, and they were always trying to trip Jesus up. They were always throwing these questions out and trying to make him fall. And they asked Jesus, they said, we want you to pick the greatest commandment in the law. And Jesus replied in Matthew 22, 36 through 38. Look what he said. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, Jesus said it's the first. It's the greatest. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So as believers, in our list of priorities, nothing can be more important than putting Jesus first and putting him at the center. Put Jesus first. See, Jesus wants top priority in our lives. He doesn't want to be second to anything else. Not only that, he deserves to be number one. He made you. He deserves to be number one. He saved you. He deserves to be number one because he is God. We were made to worship him. We were made to enjoy him. We were made to glorify him. And if you make yourself the center of your life, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make yourself miserable. It's not like we just check off the first item, Jesus, brush my teeth, eat my breakfast. No. It's not that simple. We don't just move on to the rest of our day. God says, if I'm going to be the center, if I'm going to be in the center of your world, first on your priority list, it means me being in the center of your worship, in the center of your money, in the center of your marriage, your possessions, your everything. God says, I am the only true God. Put me first. My will, my wishes, my ways, my heart, my design for your life. So the question that we really need to ask ourselves, if we'll be honest today, is who or what do you live for? Marriage, children, promotions, beauty, comfort? Well, Pastor Buddy, those are not bad things. No, of course they're not. They're not bad things. But see, when you let good things become God things, they become bad things. When good things take priority over areas of your life that they shouldn't take priority over, they really are not those great things anymore. Who or what is at the center of your life? What does your schedule orbit around? What does your budget revolve around? What does your calendar revolve around? What does your emotional life orbit around? Is it God or is it something else? Proverbs 3 and 6, I love this verse. It says, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Man, the bookshelves are loaded with books on how to succeed at this, how to be a better salesman, how to build a better business, how to have a better marriage. I mean, you can buy, go to Amazon, thousands, I dare you to type in the word success and see what, how many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of items come up. But here it is, one verse, Proverbs 3 and 6. In everything you do, put God first, and he will crown your efforts with success. In the book of Revelation, it describes a church that struggled with every They struggle with this concept of loving God and pursuing Him above everything else. I want you to look at Revelation 2, verse 2. It says, I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. And then he says, but, don't you hate it when God says but? He said, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. I mean, man, look at that list. Here was this amazing church. They excelled at all this stuff. They worked hard. They were a group of believers that hated false doctrine. The scripture says they were willing to suffer for him, and not only suffer for him, but suffer without quitting. That's a pretty good resume. What more could the Lord want? But after all that praise in verse 4, he said, I got this one complaint. You don't love me or each other the way you did at first. See, the admonition of them in verse 4 literally means in the Greek, you have lost your first love. So I want to speak to everyone today, whether you're a believer or not a believer, whether you consider yourself a strong Christian, a new Christian, or maybe even you consider yourself a struggling Christian, I don't know. Here's what I want to remind you of. Your first love was not the first girl you kissed on the playground. It was not the man that you met at the marriage altar. Your first love, guys, it wasn't your first car. I know mine was not my first car. My first car was a piece of junk. It was not even your mother who gave birth to you. It wasn't your dad who held you in his arms. Hear me, your first love was your Creator. And He still wants to be your first love. Jeremiah 1 and 5, God said to us, He said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. And He loves you. He loved you before you were you. And today, in this very first message in this series, I want to encourage each of us to put Jesus in the center of the board. Make Him priority number one. Don't let anything else come before Him in your life. Your career, it's important, but as important as it is, it's not more important than putting Jesus first. Your education, as important as that is, it's not more important than putting Jesus first. Your marriage is as important as that is. Put Jesus first and then watch God work in your marriage. Because there is nothing, hear me, there's nothing more important than your relationship with the Lord. I think in today's world, I think even in today's Christianity, I think we've kind of lost sight of that. We've kind of lost the focus of the need for that kind of a passionate commitment to the Lord. We don't want to put so much pressure on people. We don't want to put so much out there. No. We've got to remember, Jesus wants us to love Him first. God said, don't put any other God before me. That is the key to success and blessing in your life. And for those of us who are Christians, let me say this. Don't be okay with a lukewarm life. Don't be okay with anything that waters down your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. When we get apathetic, when we get lukewarm about Jesus, other things will begin to take His place. Other things will begin to nudge Him into second or third or fourth, or put Him completely out of the picture. How in the world do people who love Jesus let our love for the Lord slip? It's really easy. Matthew 24 and 12 tells us how. It says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Man, you're always making a big deal about sin. The church is always talking about sin. That's because sin will ruin what we have with God. Sin causes our love to grow cold. Sin is that constant thing that we've got to continually deal with. We've got to pursue intimacy with God, and anything that comes in front of that becomes sin in our lives. Everything we do, all of the other darts on the dartboard of life, the stuff we're going to talk about these next few weeks, it's got to flow out of a love for Jesus first, a love for our Creator. He is the source. He is the motivation. He is the foundation. Every one of us must settle once and for all that there's nothing that we love more than Jesus. No habit, no addiction, no vice, no body is more important than Jesus. No business, no amount of money, no position, no prestige is more important than loving Jesus first. And you know, tragically, many people have all the outward trappings of Christianity, but we're lacking that vibrant personal relationship with the Lord. And having a walk with God is what helps you overcome all the trials and the tests and the tribulations that we endure in this life. Put Him first and see all the success of everything else coming together in your life. I just want to ask you, do you want to be a real Christian, or do you just want to be churchy? You know, do you just want to be one of those people that go to church and, you know, you kind of smell like the church, you kind of look like the church, you talk like church people. You know, we've got our Christianese, we got the way we do certain things. Or do you really want to be a follower of Jesus? Do you want to be religious, or do you want to be in love with your Creator? See, some of us love the idea of being a Christian more than we do the reality of being a Christian. Today, when I left the house, I went this morning and I got a haircut and I fixed myself a cup of coffee and I put it in my nice little Yeti cup that Mike and Amy bought me. And man, that thing keeps coffee so hot. And then I was running some errands and doing some other stuff. And then I ran home for lunch before I came to the church today. And I took the top off and I showed Robin the hot coffee that was still steaming. I said, man, look how hot this coffee is. And she says, do you really drink coffee, or do you just like the idea of coffee? And then I thought, I said, yeah, you're right. I've been driving around with this cup of coffee all day and didn't even drink it. I told her, I said, yeah, sometimes I just like the idea of coffee. It's comforting. But you know, some people are like that with their faith. You know, man, we just fill the cup up and we get it all ready and we get the cream right and we've got our perfect little concoction and we're ready to go. And man, we just ride around all day. Got my coffee. It looks good. The cup is nice. The temperature's, oh man, look at the end of the day. I'm going to take my top off. I still got a full cup. You didn't even drink your coffee. Folks, don't be happy or content with just the image of Christianity, the thought of Christianity. Dive in. Put Jesus first. Watch Him just take total control of your life and bless you in ways that you cannot even imagine. Watch Him turn you around. Watch Him lift you up out of depression. Watch Him take you out of darkness. Watch Him deliver you from your bondage. Watch Him set you free from addiction. Watch Him just totally revolutionize your life when you put Jesus first. I love what the old prophet recorded in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. He said, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And I wonder if maybe the reason why some of us haven't quite found Him the way we want to is because we're not looking wholeheartedly. Look wholeheartedly and you'll find Him. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read the story today, but Luke chapter 12 tells us a story about a rich man that the Lord called a fool. Now, most of us, if we looked at him, we'd say, that's a smart businessman. That's a good steward. The Bible said he had much goods laid up. He had grown his business to the point that he had to build bigger barns. He had to lay out a big plan for his financial future. And, I mean, he had all this stuff seemingly together, but the Bible called him a fool. And you know why? Read the story. Because his plans did not have God in first place. See, some of us, we got all this stuff. I mean, we got it lined up. We got it planned out. It looks good, everything. But where's God in the picture? Is He in the center? Is He first? Is He your priority? See, because partially seeking God or seeking Him second or seeking Him when it's convenient, it will not do in a life of proper priorities. Just put Him first. Love Jesus. Talk to Him. Share with Him how you feel. Talk to Him about what you're going through. Tell Him how much you love Him. It's not complicated. Seek Him first, and all of these things shall be added to you. If you're in your living room right now or wherever you are and you're able to, I want you to stand with me, and we're going to have a word of prayer. See, because when you make choices to put the first things first, it's a choice that's not without benefits. A lot of people are like, oh, let's see, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give up this. I'm going to have to change that. I'm going to have to start doing this. I'm going to have to tithe. I'm going to have to give money. I'm going to have to go to church. We start thinking about, no. When you choose the Lord, you're choosing joy over misery. You're choosing eternal life over eternal damnation. You're choosing inner peace over inner turmoil. You're choosing faith over fear. There's so many blessings by putting God first and choosing blessing over cursing. So today, as I close this service today, God is calling for some folks to put Him first again. You might be a believer, and you maybe this message has challenged you a little bit to reevaluate. It's February. The year is early. Are you praying? Are you reading the Scripture? Are you using your gifts for the glory of God? Are you giving? Are you serving? Are you in a small group where you can be fed and where you can also feed or minister to other people? Are you doing anything in the community? Are you spending time with Jesus every day? It's not too late. I want to challenge you today. Put Him first. Watch everything change in your life. Would you join me right now and let's pray together? Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for this opportunity today to come into the homes and into the lives of the people of God. And I just thank You for this chance to be reminded that we need to keep You first and put You first. We live in a world with so many distractions, so many things that come against us and compete for our time and our resources, our attention, our focus. But God, I want to be reminded and I want to remember to put You first. And whatever that looks like in my life, God, help me to do it. If it means getting up 15 minutes earlier and spending time in prayer, if it means reading my Bible at lunch, if it means joining a dream team or joining a life group or volunteering in my community, whatever I need to do, God, if it means making sure that I spend more intimate communion, talking, just time talking to You, whatever I need to do, God, help me to reprioritize and put You first in my life. Because I recognize, Lord, that if I put You first, everything else will be taken care of. If I put You first, You will bless me with success. And for that, I thank You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. We hope to be back in church this next Sunday. That's our plan, to be back in church live. And so whether we're joining you live this next week or if we're back at home online, whatever it is, don't miss next week's message, the second message in our series. And I hope you have an amazing week. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. You're dismissed and blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.